In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Let's look at the Word of God today and let's see what God's Holy Word has to say. That Word of God that is able to imprint itself upon our hearts through the power of the Holy Spirit. We cannot really know the Word of God unless the Holy Spirit is operative in our lives, in our hearts. And I'm going to tell you today what the church gave us as a meditation in our readings today, and it's something that you've heard often, but it's very beautiful, and it's from Jeremiah, and it's 29. But I'm not going to read the part that you all know. I'm going to read the part before, and it says this. These are the words of the letter which Jeremiah the prophet sent from Jerusalem to the elders of the exiles and to the priests, the prophets and all the people whom Nebuchadnezzar had taken into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. This was after King Jeconiah and the queen mother, the eunuchs, the princes of Judah and Jerusalem, and the craftsmen and the smiths had departed from Jerusalem. So we must remember that Israel had sinned and that God sent them to Babylon. God sent them to Babylon. We know Psalm 137 talks about it. By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat and wept as we hung up our harps, as our captors said, "Sing us one of the songs of Zion." One of the songs used to sing at the temple. How can we sing the Lord's song in a foreign land? If I forget you, Jerusalem, may my right hand wither. So we see that Jeremiah the prophet, who's still in Jerusalem, is sending this letter to the captives, to those who are in captivity. The letter was sent by the hand of Elisha, the son of Shaphan, and Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah. From Zedekiah, king of Judah, sent to Babylon to Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, it said, "Thus says the Lord, the God of hosts, the God of Israel, to all the exiles whom I have sent into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon." Now, you know, a lot of people would blame the devil. It was the devil who sent us into Babylon. No, no, no. The scripture says, "I have sent you into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon." Why? Because your necks were stiff, your hearts were hardened. You would not listen to my word. I kept on telling you not to worship false gods. I kept on telling you not to go to temple prostitutes. I kept on telling you that if you continued to do this, you would suffer, and that I would lead you into a land of captivity. I said those things to you, but you were deaf unto my words. You see, a lot of people would blame the devil, but the Lord says, "I sent you to Babylon." Nobody else. And this is what he says. "Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all the exiles whom I have sent into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Build houses." Build houses. Why does God say build houses? Because they're going to stay there for a while. Build houses. Live in them. Plant gardens and eat their produce. Take wives. Have sons and daughters. Take wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage, that they may hear and bear sons and daughters and multiply in Babylon and do not decrease. So it seems today that Jeremiah the prophet is telling them that, you know, we're going to stay here for a while. There were other prophets that were speaking, who were dreaming dreams that they were telling the captives in Babylon, don't even unpack. You know, don't unpack, because you know why? The Lord is in his temple. and he will not permit us to stay here in Babylon. We'll be moving out quickly. That is not the word of Jeremiah. Jeremiah is build houses, plant gardens, eat their produce, marry wives of your own kind, Jews. Have sons, have daughters, take wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage, that they may bear sons and daughters, multiply there and do not decrease. Isn't it something that the God of Israel is all for multiplication? He's all for the multiplication of children. The God of Israel is not a birth control God. He is not a birth control God. He is the God that wants children. That's the God of Israel. You see, everybody loves to take the parts from the Bible that they like, but the parts that they don't like, they don't want to take. You know, when we trust God with our money, we trust God with our time, and we trust God with our reproductive systems. That's right. You see, if you lay your life on the altar as a living sacrifice of praise, it's your whole life. It's not only your money, your tithe. It's not only your time, but it's your children. The scripture tells us that God loves to have children. Now, whether people believe that or not, I don't think so, because now we have dogs, we don't have children. That's right, dogs rather than children. And you know, I know there are people who couldn't have children, and I know that's a great suffering. That's one of the greatest sufferings that people have, that they can't conceive. I have a friend that's trying to conceive her second child. I still say she's going to have it. I still say she will conceive in Jesus' name now, as her womb opens in Jesus' name. But you see, it's a great suffering when children don't come to people who want children. So, when that suffering comes, you know, that's pain. And you know, dogs are wonderful. They can never take a place of a child, but, you know, they're wonderful. But today our society are into dogs. You see a young man and a young woman walking down the street, and they've got this big greyhound walking with them. Isn't that wonderful? And you say, my Lord, where's the baby carriage? But now, it's much easier to take care of a dog. You want to know why? I'll tell you, because basically we're very selfish, and we have no faith. Because, you see, if I have children, I have to really care for them. And that'll be a long time, and, you know, I have to parent them, I have to father them, I have to mother them, you know, I've got to send them to college, and how can I afford all those things? You know, because I really want to think about me, because it's all about me. You know Frank Sinatra, what he's saying? I did it my way. And they're singing that hymn in hell in four-part harmony tonight. I did it my way. But who's going to listen to these things, you know? There is nothing like children. You know, we saw yesterday Sarah Palin's children on stage. My Lord. My Lord. My Lord. Whether she's elected vice president or not, what a family. What a beautiful family. And when Mama went up to speak, I don't know if you saw those children. They were beaming with love for their mother. They were beaming with love for their mother. Well, you know what? Children are a blessing from God. They are a blessing. That doesn't mean they're not a lot of work. Doesn't mean they won't rebel. Doesn't mean you won't have, they won't give you a run for your money. Doesn't mean any of those things. But it does mean that there's nothing greater. Nothing greater. You know, God not only wants physical children, he wants spiritual children. He wants to fill the barns with all the spiritual children that would come to give their whole life unto the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, not just their Sunday and not just their commitment, but that they would breathe for Jesus, that they would live for Jesus, that they're always looking for opportunities to bring people into the life of grace, you know? There aren't many people like that. We have a lot of churchgoers, but not very many people that have a heart for the lost. But, you see, Jesus said, I came to seek and save that which was lost. So the Lord loves children. Children in the natural, and children begotten through the Word of God and the power of the Holy Spirit, through faith and baptism. Continue. Build houses and live in them, plant gardens, eat their produce, take wives, have sons and daughters, take wives for your sons, give your daughters in marriage, that they may bear sons and daughters, multiply there, do not decrease, but seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile, and pray to the Lord on its behalf, for its welfare you will find your welfare. Now, this is very interesting. You see, we are all aliens in the places where we are living. St. Paul says that. And that our true home is in heaven. But you see, the places where we live, we are the light of the world if we belong to Jesus. Therefore, we are to pray for the good of the places that we're in. Because the welfare of the places will also bring about the welfare of the children of God. We're just not to, just to live in a place. We're to make it better. We're to enhance it. We're to love it. Its welfare. In its welfare you will find your welfare. For thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, do not let your prophets and your diviners who are among you to deceive you, and do not listen to the dreams which they are dreaming. Why? Because the prophets in Babylon are saying, don't even unpack. But the Lord has exiled them as a part of his love. Yes, the wrath of God is part of his love. It is not that he would destroy Israel in Babylon. It is that they would yearn to go home. And that they would know the grace that they had in Jerusalem. It is that now they must suffer because of their sin. But God will release them. But don't listen to the prophets. The prophets that love people, you know? They give you the word you want to hear. That's the old prophet that gives you the word you want to hear. Come on, give me a word today. Oh, yeah, you're leaving Jerusalem. You're leaving Babylon, and it's going to be soon, and it's not going to be long. And, oh, my Lord, I can see it. I see you in the temple praising God. I see you bringing your sheep. I see you sacrifice. Isn't it wonderful? This is going to happen. Oh, so don't put down any deep roots here, because I'm telling you, this is what I see. You know, the Lord says they're liars. They're profiteers. They're looking for their own welfare. You do not speak the word of God according to what people want to hear. You speak the word of God according to the word of God that he gives you. That's a very important thing. You do not take your finger and then lick it and then put it out in the air and see what is the feeling of the common people. And then you speak to that. No, no, no. The man of God speaks the word of God in season and out of season, and speaks the word of God that people need to hear, even if it's a difficult word. He doesn't play with people's heads. He's not out to have popularity or money, though money is involved. Oh, yes, they will give the prophet things. But you do not prophesy in order to tickle people's ears, you prophesy the word of God. And the word of God was, I didn't send these fakes. You build your houses, you plant gardens, you eat the produce, you get married, you have children. You have children and have them get married, because the welfare of the land depends upon you. You see, that's a hard word. I'm sure that the people there did not like to hear that word. You want to know why? They all want to go home. For it is a lie which these prophets prophesy, and they prophesy it to you in my name. Then the Lord says, I did not send them, says the Lord. I didn't send them. I've said this before, you know, a lot of people just went, and then there are some people who are sent. A lot of people just went, but then there are those that are sent. I believe in the sending of people. I believe that the church has the power to send us. I believe that. I truly believe that. The sending power, not the wenting power. I went. No. I was sent. I was sent. I was sent to Holy Rosary in Winthrop. I was sent here. They'll probably keep me here for a long time. But you know what? This is a place where I can do the things I need to do for people that would not be able to be done in a big parish. Just the way it is. You see, God uses the structure. I believe that, at least for the men of God. I told Matthew Williams, when he was a deacon, they will send you where you need to be. And I know that because you are marked out for God. And you will be sent to a place where you will thrive. I know that. That will not happen to everybody. But God will make sure that his own will be sent to a place where they will thrive. I know that. I've seen it. God uses the structure. I believe it. Especially for those who are his own, who have given their lives to him. And I know some people go to some poor places. And I don't mean poor with money. I mean poor places. You know what I say? If a young priest goes to a place where they don't welcome him, you stay 3 months, 4 months, and then after Christmas you say Okinawa, because my vocation is much more important than staying with a drunk or staying with a man that doesn't talk to me. You see, that's very important. It's very important. You don't risk what God has given you. And then it says, for thus says the Lord, when 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will visit you. Now I'm going to turn to Isaiah. 70 years go by, I will visit you. And when the Lord says, I will visit you, what do you think he means? He means that they're going home. That's what he means. And 70 years, I will visit you. I think it's 51. How happy are the feet upon the mountain that bring good news. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings the gospel, who publishes peace, who brings good tidings of good, who publishes salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns. Hark, the watchmen lift up their voice. Together they sing for joy. For eye to eye they see the return of the Lord to Zion. Break forth together into singing, you waste places of Jerusalem. For the Lord has comforted his people, redeemed Jerusalem. The Lord has bared his holy arm before the eyes of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of the Lord. This is it. The visitation of God in Babylon. Why? How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, the gospel. And it was somebody who came from Jerusalem stating that now was the time to return, that they would be welcomed back. They would be welcomed back. They were building the walls of Jerusalem, and they would be welcomed back. Who publishes peace, who brings good tidings of good, who publishes salvation, who says to Jerusalem, your God reigns. Hark, your watchmen lift up their voice. Together they sing for joy, for eye to eye they see the return of the Lord to Zion. How does the Lord return to Zion? To his people. To his people. The return of the Lord to Zion. The return of the Lord to Jerusalem. How happy upon the mountains the feet that bring good news. And what's the good news? We're leaving this place of captivity. 70 years have passed by, and now we're going home. My Lord, can you just hear all the exultation that day when that messenger came and came to Babylon and saying, we're getting out of this place now. For thus says the Lord, when 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will visit you, and I will fulfill you my purpose and bring you back to Jerusalem. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans for your welfare and not your evil, to give you a future and a hope. Listen now. This word is to you. Maybe you have been in your own Babylon. Maybe you have been stuck. S-T-U-C-K. It's time now to get unstuck. U-N-S-T-U-C-K. It's time to get unstuck, you know, because the Lord says, I know the plans I have for you. I have plans for your welfare and not your evil. I have plans to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me, and then you will come and pray to me, and then I will hear you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart. I know the plans I have for you. Let me tell you this, that the devil's been lying in your ear thinking that your plans are destruction. But the Lord says, no, plans for your welfare and to give you a future and a hope. But I tell you, you've got to get unstuck. You've got to get, and how do you get unstuck? Start worshiping the Lord. Start dancing before him. Start singing his praises. Come to the service tonight at 7 o'clock at the Holy, Holy Espousal, I guess. The Espousal Retreat. And how do you get unstuck? You've got to focus upon him, that our eyes be fixed upon Jesus and not upon ourselves. How do we fix our eyes on Jesus? As we worship, as we praise, as we adore. You can do it in your room. You can do it in your house. Put some music on. Get it out. Start praising God. I know the plans I have for you to get unstuck. Plans for your welfare. Plans to give you a future. Plans to give you hope. When you seek me. When you seek me with all of your faith, all of your heart. You find me with you, says the Lord. You find me with you, says the Lord. Listen. Get out of yourself today. Get out of yourself today. Stop thinking about yourself. Stop thinking about your captivity. Stop thinking about your being stuck. It's time to worship. It's time to praise. It's time to adore. It's time to sing. It's time to clap. It's time for you in your own house to get your pots and pans out and start dancing around like a little child, knowing that it's a victory march and not a funeral. It's a victory march and not a funeral cortege. It's a victory march and not a funeral cortege. It's time. It's time. You, if you want to get unstuck, but if you want to stay stuck, just stay in the same rocking chair that you're in. Just blow your head and say, poor me, these things have been happening to me all my life. It's time to get unstuck. It's time to get unstuck. Start worshiping. Start praising God. Start adoring him. Start raising your hands. Get some music that you like and begin to praise God. Get another person to praise God with you. But, you know, if you like Babylon so much, have a happy day. It's time to move out of Babylon. Time to move out of the place of captivity. It's time to move out of the place of being stuck. It's time to move on. You've been there long enough. And you say, but Father, I don't feel like it. That's right. You don't feel like it, but you know what? There are lots of things my father didn't feel like doing at 3 o'clock in the morning going to work. But you know what? He did it. I didn't feel like it. It's time to raise your voice unto the Lord today. It's time to praise his holy name. It's time to say, I love you, Lord. You're loved. You're loved. I love you, Lord. It's time to sing. It's time to dance. It's time to jump around and say, I'm unstuck. Well, you do what you want to do because you know what? You have a free will, and you don't have to get unstuck if you don't want. You can just be as stuck as you want, baby. But the Lord doesn't want you there. Tonight we'll be at the Espousal Retreat House Thursday and Friday, 7 to 11. You're welcome to come. And tonight, I will celebrate Mass. It is Thursday. I don't usually celebrate Mass on Thursday, but I will, and we'll do it late. All right? So tonight at the Espousal Retreat House, we're going to be worshiping the Lord. We're going to be praising his holy name. It's time to get unstuck. It's time to praise the Lord. It's time, it's time, it's time, it's time, and you know what? It's time. And I'm saying to you, don't stay where you are. God has plans for your future, plans to give you a hope. But you know what? It all depends upon you. You can sit there with your head low and say, poor me. Or you can start dancing. Tonight at 7 o'clock at the Espousal Retreat House, come. And you can come at 7:30. You can even come at 8 o'clock. And I'm telling you, the telephone number is 781-209-3101. 781-209-3101, and I need to hear from people so that we can pay our bills. God is so good. I need people to help me pay our bills. Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. You read Jeremiah 29 today. You read it and believe it. First you gotta read it, then you gotta heed it. Never know when you're gonna need it. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.